Hey, what's up, everybody? Long time no listen. I just wanted to, real quick, at the beginning of this episode, give an update here. I know it's been a really long time since Rhett and I have gotten an episode out. Things have been really crazy. I think the last time you heard us was Portland Retro Gaming Expo, which happened in like October of 2019. And here we are, halfway through 2020. So it's been crazy, and I'm sure everyone knows and has felt some impact from the whole COVID-19 thing. So just with sort of the general life changes that have happened and the global pandemic, things have been pretty crazy. It's been pretty challenging for Rhett and I to hook up and do things like we used to, unfortunately. So we're still going. We still plan on making episodes. We still plan on having Game Dev's Quest be a thing. We're still active in the Discord. I chat in there every single day almost. So if you want to stay involved, definitely go to our Discord. I think it's, now I'm forgetting all of our links, bit.ly/GDQ Discord if you haven't joined. We have some really good conversation going on all the time, and I always enjoy it. Even if the podcast stops, the Discord will live on. But I just wanted to say hi, let you guys know we're still here. We just wrapped up OMG Jam 7, which was a month and a half or so, and it was super fun. I kind of got my game dev fire back in me, but just know we really appreciate everyone sticking with us. We miss all of you guys. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. This is sort of a lost episode. We forgot about this. I think we recorded it in like December 2019, and Rhett and I just like didn't hook up for a long time. He had a kid, and just with me, all the house stuff and my job and everything, it's just been kind of a whirlwind. So this will kind of put you back in time a little ways, but I think it'll be a fun episode. And we have a couple more banked up that we're gonna try and edit up and get out to y'all. But hopefully you guys are all sticking with game dev, continuing to push and learn and spread positivity. So I guess we'll catch you in the episode. Thanks, y'all. We'll see you there. Okay, also, I just started editing the episode, and this is from OMG Jam 6. Oh my God, that was so long ago. I said earlier that we just finished OMG Jam 7, so we literally had like one podcast in the span of two OMG Jams, which is just crazy. So anyways, I just wanted to point that out. This is from a long time ago. It looks like probably November 2019. All right, see y'all.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to another edition of Game Dev's Quest, your once weekly, sometimes more, sometimes less, podcast following two game dev scrubs into game devdom. If we can do it, you can too. I'm Rhett.
What's up? I'm Taylor.
Y'all listen to this, which means that you are aware that OMG Jam 6 is nigh upon us. We're coming down into the 11th hour before the commencement of the jam begins, and all of you are hastily typing away.
Some people are probably already going.
Cheating sons of bitches.
I know, dude. Yeah, so OMG Jam 6 is starting tonight at midnight our time. But it's funny because I guess part of it was my fault because on the jam page I said that we'd release themes on December 8th, but I didn't say what time. So the Discord was like lighting up with people like, "Where are the themes?" And we had some posts in the forum at, like asking like, "Where are the themes?" And people were like, "Yeah, it's December 9th already in my time." So, anyways, I posted them. So I'm sure people are working on it, but it doesn't
Yeah,
matter. It's low
there's no
key.
winning. You
Yeah,
know what's
no winning.
funny? What's funny though is like we just keep relaxing the rules to make it easier for people. And even relaxing the rules, people go outside of the rules. And it's like, look, that's fine. That's the whole point. But like, why do you, you know, what's weird is like how often we have to give permission for people to go outside of the rules.
Yeah.
When they're going to do it anyway. I don't know. That just, it's just funny. Y'all are funny with your game jams.
Yep. We're going to, pretty soon it's going to just be like, every day is an OMG jam. Like, do whatever you want at any time you want, and you're jamming.
And you diggity dog jamming, dog.
Yep. I'm pretty excited about OMG Jam 6, though. We sort of had, obviously, we had, the last time we did one was November 2018. So it's been over a year. We snuck one in right before the end of the year. And I think our strategy actually kind of worked, just putting up the jam page. Like, I think we did almost 6 weeks in advance or something.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really do much advertising. I guess I tweeted a couple times about it. But we have, right now, we currently have 197 people signed up. So that's our top we've ever had, which is cool.
Well, they see the six next to it and they're like, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. So I kind of was like, I was thinking in my head, like, damn, dude, maybe we should just be like a game jam, like, project.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking is kind of fun if we don't get podcasts out as often. Is like, we should just do like we planned before, like quarterly game jams.
Yeah, know? That would be cool.
Yeah.
It would honestly keep me
interested.
Interested in, like, doing more game development, which would be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I... I've mentioned this already, but I'm going to be working with Phaser.js. So it's a JavaScript framework that I've never really used. I tried to use it like a year ago, and it, I don't know why, it sort of scared me away. But Matty Kens was always making games in Phaser, and he just loved it. So recently I sort of decided I'm going to go on a JavaScript binge because that's lacking. My skill set is lacking right now. Pretty much at work, we only use like jQuery, which is sort of old to today's standard. So I wanted to get back in and start focusing on web development tech, and JavaScript fits right in. So Phaser seems cool. And I just finished their little tutorial that they have. It's like a 10-part series. And there's some really like out-of-the-box nice stuff that it does. Like you don't have to manually check like the bounds of your screen. There's just a function now, like if you want to have just your static camera and you don't want your player to like be able to fall off, you know, the screen or like go past the left or the right side of the screen, you just call this one function and it does it for you, instead of like literally having to, you know, go through and say like, is the player off the screen, don't let the player pass that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm kind of excited about it. It feels like one step up maybe from Monogame, where you had to kind of like do everything yourself. You still have to do a lot of that with Phaser, but it seems like there's a lot of extra functions and stuff that I can utilize. So it'll be cool. I don't know how well I'm going to do with it since I've never used it, but we'll see. It'll be fun.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't plan on making a game, but I had a fun idea where I thought I would just hop on FL Studio and try to like make as many like, you know, like loopable, songs as possible.
Nice.
And just like throw them out there on the Discord if people want to use them or whatever they can. I don't know if I'd be able to get any done, but
that would actually be so helpful to people.
Right.
Because I know we have like two people in the Discord who said that they would do music. But people are always looking for music and artists and that sort of thing.
And so, I thought it would just be fun. Like, I've been doing so much music stuff anyway, and be a fun little exercise if I could just create, like, you know, like maybe a minute, 2 minute long loopable songs.
Definitely. Yeah. Pick and, like a couple moods or something and play off those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and just throw them out there, and anybody can use them. You
That's
know,
awesome.
Nobody has to like pick and choose. Yeah,
dude.
So, I don't know.
That gives me another idea, which is like, if we keep doing a bunch of game jams and we make it a, you know, every quarter thing, like we could just release our own like starter pack. So we have like,
oh, that's a really fun idea. So everybody starts with the same assets and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like if you don't have an artist or something, like we just have, you know, like a couple characters you can choose from, like some little animations and,
Wouldn't that be fun though? And we can get like, maybe what we could do too is, you know, we could make some stuff, but then maybe we could feature other artists.
Yeah.
In the future. And it's like, oh, here's, you know, like we could have like Antic, like make some like assets yeah. for people one quarter. And then we could have,
We could have, composer Kirk make some music just default, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Really good idea. Yeah. Man, we're geniuses. Write that one down.
I will. I like that idea, though. I think that's really fun.
That's fun. Yeah, because then that lowers the barrier of entry even more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, you want to join our jam? We have some pre-built games that you can submit.
You know what? Then we could even do the reverse thing, where we have games already coded out.
Yeah.
And people can just make their own assets for them.
Right?
Would that be possible? That seems kind of hokey, but...
Even better, we could have pre-built games and then someone else can host the jam and then all of us can submit the pre-built game to their jam.
Dude, here's an idea. We just have a pre-built game and you can join the jam and then you just play the game.
Or we could do we have a game and everybody has the same start game built in the same engine or something, and then we put that out as the starter template or whatever, and then people use that and jam on it to see how like the game changes or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? that's like all these like Mario Maker or like Little Big Planet, or that's like almost like those games.
True, yeah.
Which is cool though. I like that.
Yeah.
Like it's always fun like when a game comes with like a level editor and you can like fuck around and see like what type of stuff you come up with, you know.
Right.
Like some of those mods that come out on games are really freaking fun to see what people dream up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
We just invented mods.
Yeah. We haven't spoken in like a month and here we are coming up with our best ideas ever.
Just solving the world's problems, my man.
Yeah.
What's next?
How can
climate
we make,
change?
Right, dude. Yeah, how can we make OMG Jam even easier? I was kind of thinking about it, like, so I put up the themes, and I was like, in my little video that I made for it to announce the themes, I like gave some examples, and after I submitted it, I watched it, and I was like, man, the examples I gave are definitely not one mechanic. Like, these things are super complicated. Oh well, but there's already some cool ideas in the Discord. Like Flippo was talking about this cool little, I don't know, like Lemmings type of idea where he combined like all of the jam idea or themes into one.
Yeah, it, I saw that.
Yeah, so people are starting to go. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, maybe what we can do in the future is just change what the acronym stands for. So it's like 1 month game jam, where it takes less than 1 month to finish the game.
Yeah, totally.
Or like 1 month to finish playing the game. Not making it, but...
Well,
or 1 month game jam, and it's just you have a whole month to work on something.
Dude, that's...
And just do four a year.
That's funny, because remember one game
yeah,
a month?
Yeah, yeah, one game a month, yeah.
We could just rip that off. And OMG Jam is now one game... what did you say? 1 month game jam. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just OMG jam.
I know.
Still, but it's, I was thinking, what's funny is I even knew how what I would say could be misconstrued. So I planned to say it in such a way that it couldn't be misconstrued. And I still said it wrong. Cause I just meant like a game that like when you play it, you have a month to beat it.
Oh,
you
know? I see.
Like it's got to take less than a month to beat the game.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, most of these games typically can be beaten within like 5 minutes. So.
Dude, maybe we should do a 1 minute game jam.
There you go. They have our game jam. 1 minute game jam. Open up Unity.
I mean the 1 minute to beat. Oh.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I've missed the point there, but
yeah, you always miss the point.
I always do. Dude, I'm dead tired too. I built this. So we bought a greenhouse at this. I don't know if I told you this. We went to like this home show. We bought this greenhouse And these people are coming to build it next month. And I had to build like the foundation for it. So today, like I had gone the last couple of weeks and sort of like moved dirt around, like leveled it out. And today I went to Home Depot like a couple times and had all these like retaining wall concrete blocks. And for whatever reason, dude, like I only have probably 50 of them, but I like moved them around, like put them in the perimeter of this square pad. And then I was like leveling them and all this stuff. And I'm just like dead from that. I've been playing guitar lately because I have an acoustic now. And I'm pissed off
you've
because
had one for a long time.
I know, I'm actually finally getting into it. I've been playing it like 15 to 30 minutes a day for the last like 10 days or something.
Nice.
Seeing great progress, which is awesome. But I'm pissed off because today I'm sitting there like with these concrete blocks, like leveling them. And, you know, I got one of those like rubber mallets and I'm like just hitting it, tap, tap, tap. And dude, I like smash my finger so hard. and it's a finger, like it's my middle finger on my left hand. So it's going to be really hard to like press down a string. So that kind of sucks. But anyways.
It'll get better though.
Yeah, it'll get better. It's all black right now.
I cut my hands all the time and do stuff. And it's like at a point, like I had a really bad cut on my middle finger of my playing hand the other day. And I was like, man, this sucks. And then like before I knew it, it was healed. And I didn't like, you know, it's like what? I missed like a couple days at most.
Yeah, true.
Even then, I'm like know my way around enough. I can not use that finger, but.
Yeah, see, I'm at the phase where, like, if I don't play for a little while, I'm going to have to start over. And I just got to this point where I was, like, forming a habit of playing all the time. And, like, chords were getting a lot easier. So I hope I don't, like, have to miss too many days. But it's been fun, though.
Well, if you ever want any lessons, man, we'll Skype it up.
We should.
I mean, you can learn anything you need off YouTube, but sometimes it helps to have somebody, like, answer questions and stuff.
Yeah. I picked up, there's this app, you've probably heard of it. It's called Guitar Tuna. It's a tuner, but it also has these like chord learning challenges.
Yeah.
And I picked that one up and that's been, for me, for whatever reason, that's been like really helpful. Because I just go in, I do the challenge for the chords I already know. And then I like do maybe like one for new chords.
Nice. So it's like Duolingo for chords.
Basically, yeah, it's kind of cool. And then there's one setting where you can just like memorize chords and their fingerings and like what they are, you know, like G or whatever. So there's like all these different challenges, which don't always involve playing. So it's kind of nice.
That's kind of cool because I found like one of the main problems I had, like when I was not just like learning the basic chords and stuff, but like especially when I was like trying to learn variations, I bought this gigantic binder book that had like every chord, every variation, every position possible.
Yeah.
And it's like a 200-page book with diagrams, you know, and I would always get overwhelmed, like trying to go through it and like learn different variations and stuff, mostly because like you got to flip through, you got to find the chord, you got to do all the work. But
yeah,
I think having something to just show you random, you know, like random chords or give you context for a chord or something like that is actually like pretty cool. Tool that wasn't really like around when I was learning to play.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like, it's not always the best because it uses my microphone on my phone and sometimes it like has trouble picking it up. But I like how it's broken down. Like typically each little challenge presents you with like four chords and then it's timed and you just play the chord and each time you play it successfully, it gives you some time back and you're just trying to play as many as you can before the time runs
out. That's cool.
So yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot. So anyways, that's kind of one thing I've been up to lately.
That's awesome.
I don't know if I told you this either. We bought a piano.
Fun.
And that came last Thursday. Although,
did you buy like a real piano or is it like an electric? Yeah,
no, we bought like a real one. We went to this piano shop and looked around. Allie and I had been of talking about it for a while. And we're loaded, dude.
You bought a new piano from a piano shop. People
not
don't
a new
do
one.
That.
It's not a new one. It was built in like 1971.
All right, fine.
Yeah, and
okay, I'll retract my statement. But still, nobody goes to piano shops unless they're loaded, Taylor.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we went in there. We were like the only people there. This guy was like super nice and talked to us and like showed us a bunch of stuff about different pianos and
Because you were his only sale that month.
Probably, dude.
Nobody goes to piano shops.
I feel like his only, most of the money that he makes is from like going out to people's houses and like tuning their pianos or giving lessons or whatever.
Yeah, could be.
But yeah, we bought this piano. It's like really cute. It matches our furniture. We have this weird kind of awkward space.
So it's like an upright
Yeah, it's an upright.
Or like a console piano. It's taller.
It's probably like, I don't know, 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, okay. So it's more like a console piano, I think they call those.
I think he called it an upright, but.
Oh, well, okay. I guess you would know.
It's not, I mean, it's big. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw mine, but I have like a more console type variant piano. I don't have it at my house but it's at my brother's house right now, but it was, in Mount Angel, and it was originally like at my mom's house, and she was like moving and she didn't want to lose the piano because like, you know, she had these dreams for it and all this stuff. So like, I moved it into her house when she got it. Then I moved it to my house. Then I moved it. I've moved that piano like 4 or 5 times total. And they suck to move. They're really heavy.
Yeah, I know. I had no idea like how heavy they are. I'm not looking forward to moving that thing. I don't think we have it in a place we want to.
We'll
keep
ever
it.
Have to move it. Oh,
well, yeah. I think we're gonna. You remember how our living room is situated?
Yeah.
We have kind of like these two little alcoves.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to. It fits almost perfectly, like size wise, into one of the alcoves. So I think we want to put it there, but it's gonna be a pain even to move it just like across the floor.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, so that's been kind
of
a new
fun.
Thing that's cool. We're having a couple issues with it right now with like sticky keys and some of the sounds of the keys are kind of weird, but the guy's supposed to come out and tune it and fix the sticks and
service
stuff,
it.
So, yeah. He said basically like when we got it, he'd let it sit in your space for a month or so, let it acclimate and then come out. But there's like a couple keys that are so sticky that like you can't almost play it, which
yeah.
we didn't experience when it was there. So I don't know, maybe it's just the moving process that did it.
Well, every time you move a piano, it needs to be serviced basically. Like
okay.
if you're doing piano right.
Yeah.
Because even just like moving it, like you're going to knock strings out of tune and stuff. I don't know too much about sticky keys. I mean, every single piano I've ever like had in my house or anything has always had sticky keys and I've always just like played around them. But,
gotcha.
But you know, I'm not loaded. So,
yeah, I'm so loaded, dude.
Dude, you bought a greenhouse and a piano.
Well, yeah, we've been saving for a really long time. So.
No, I know. I'm just giving you shit.
I know.
But
yeah.
Non-loaded people don't buy greenhouses and pianos.
We got good deals on both of them. We got like $1,000 off this greenhouse when we went to this place. So.
Non-loaded people don't get $1,000 off anything.
Sure they do. When you go to a car dealership, you can get $1,000 off of a car.
Yeah, if you haggle, that's true, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. Anyways, you've been doing some cool music stuff though, too.
Yeah, well, and it just helps because, like, I don't know how many podcasts we've done since I started doing it, but I think, like, starting in September, I've been working and kind of studying at a recording studio in town, and my, like, mentor/partner in that is an old buddy of mine, and he was a guitar player in my... like kind of my last band that I was in. And, you know, I'd seen him like working at the studio a whole bunch and posting about it on Facebook. And I was like, yeah, man, this like looks like an awesome thing. And he's like, hey, do you want to come down and check it out? And I said, yeah, sure. And then he goes, hey, you know, I do this on Monday nights and we kind of do this like thing where, I, you know, mentor somebody on how to do all this stuff. You want to come down and like be my student? Like, that'd be awesome. I was like, oh, heck yeah, let's do it. So, I started, you know, working with him on Monday nights and it's just like really scratches that itch, for like working with music and stuff that, you know, traditionally like working at the theater and like playing shows and stuff would do, but I haven't done in a while. So
yeah.
It's been kind of nice to have that and also just like learning a whole bunch and learning how to like get more value out of my own home studio equipment that I've had for a long time. you know, that like I use for podcasting sometimes and making music others. And so I've just been like making a bunch of like demos and getting back into like even scratching that itch of like playing guitar and stuff on my own.
Yeah.
And I've been, the reason Taylor brings it up, I've been like sending Taylor demos all the time, being like, what do you think of this one? You know?
Yeah. I've been enjoying it though, because I mean, that's something that is sort of in my past at this point too. Like, I haven't been making music in like 5+ years. And so it's nice to hear your stuff, because it kind of brings me back to the old days, you know, and especially when you're like pulling in some of our old songs and like reworking them and stuff too. That's like, that's sick. I really like that.
Well, that was, yeah, that was one of the last ones I did. Me and Taylor recorded this song a long time ago, and it was like probably like, I just think in terms of like playing, like I don't think in terms of like what the final product was our best by any means, because, you know, we kind of got lazy on it, especially like me, like listening back, I'm like, oh, I missed a golden opportunity to have some like really cool lyrics and stretch my vocal ability and all this sort of stuff.
I think if you remember though, I think that that song when we had written it was like super new, and
yeah, we had like, just written it,
and I had like this certain slot of time for the recording studio that I was like using for school, and so it's kind of like, well, what do? We play metal, so let's just like shout like random noises.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, we did that. We basically came up with like one vocal line and some random noises, and we just did vocals, and it like sounds cool when you listen to it. Like it doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
You know, just like re-listening to it now, I feel like it was a missed opportunity to do something cooler.
Totally.
If I had just prepared a little bit more rather than being lazy. And so I got this idea because I've been trying to like put together basically an EP of hardcore and metal songs under a consistent theme, and I started thinking like, oh man, like this is a really cool song. Like, I wonder what it would be like to rewrite some lyrics for it or rework this song or whatever. And so I hit up Taylor. I was like, you mind if I just like redo this and like maybe just like make it a new song? And but the structure is like perfect in my opinion. Like, I freaking, that song is aside from the vocals and the lyrics, like, it's like our best song. It's so tight. Yeah. It's so well arranged and all this sort of stuff. And it's just the exact type of genre that we really liked playing, but sometimes like didn't play, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, I felt like that was one of the only songs that when we played it at shows and stuff, it was like, man, we're going to like hit people in the mouth with this. Like,
yeah, there was a couple songs we wrote like right at the end of that band that people were like, this is awesome, you know, like we'd play at these clubs where with a bunch of metalheads, and you know, we always considered ourselves metal, but we were a lot more tamer than you know, than most metal bands in our scene,
right?
And because we tried to have like singing and like wide appeal and all that, and that's kind of like what we liked.
We also like didn't really fit the look, I feel like, either. Like, we were just,
that's true,
know, like, I feel like I always
middle-aged
drummed
IT technicians.
Like, I always like drummed in like basketball shorts and a white t-shirt, and like none of us have tattoos or like an intricate hairstyle or anything.
Long hair. Yeah.
It was like, who beer are these guys? They look like they're gonna play some indie pop, and then we play Death by Planets, and it's like,
yeah. And I got more compliments after like that song, and then we played another one called The Unabridged Book of Ninja Fighting. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
That was one that, so like, that was like when John had come back to our band. So originally our band had one of our good friends, John, in it as our second guitar player. And he went off and got engaged and got married and all this sort of stuff. And actually, I guess this was technically before he got married, but he got engaged and he hit me up and he goes, hey man, like, we should get together and like work on some songs. And so we brought John back into the band for a little bit. Because there for a while it was just me and Taylor, and we would go and play shows just two piece, and which was awesome. We just killed some of those shows. I always think about it. We played this one, and it was at this Irish bar up in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh yeah, Shanahan's or something like that.
Was it Shanahan's or Shanigan? Maybe it was called like Shenanigans or something. No, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Shanahan's. Anyway,
yeah, I think it was.
And I remember we got done playing this one song, and the band that was following us was like notorious for their like fast playing. And one of the people that was friends with him just goes, oh my God. And I thought they were fast. I was like, yeah, we did it. Dude, we just blazed through some of our songs.
I also had the tendency to like rush, like go like 40 BPS faster than what? Dude,
better than Dragon, in my opinion. I loved playing fast. But anyway, so we brought John back for a little bit, and me and him had this like weird goal because we were like playing shows and stuff in the summer. And I said, man, by Halloween, we should write 10 songs. And so come Halloween, he hits me up and he goes, hey man, remember when we said we'd have 10 songs written by tonight and we don't have one? And I said, yeah. And he goes, come over, let's finish this bet. And so I went over to his house and we just sat down in his garage and started hammering out songs. And I remember we like had some of these riffs that we were sitting on. We just hammer them out and he goes, done, done, done. And one of those songs was Unabridged Book of Ninja Fighting, which was like, for all intents and purposes, it was like a black metal song. It was nice. Like super just like European black metal. And me and him had played it a whole bunch and we're like, this song is amazing. We brought you in on it. We played it a couple times. And then I think we played it once or twice at a show. And one of those shows was with Death by Planets. And I just remember like afterwards, like Rob was this like local metal guitarist who's known for his like neoclassical style, and he came back and he's like, dude, that Book of Ninja Fighting song, like, oh my God, that was awesome.
That's funny. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean I sort of remember this, but I don't specifically remember what this song was.
I have the first demo that me and John recorded in his garage. I can send it to you.
Yeah, you should. That'd be cool.
I actually have a demo with you on it, but you can't hear anything.
Okay.
It was like on my very first laptop, which is like ancient.
Nice.
And I just had this like crappy lapel mic that we recorded on, and like sounds really good with the guitars, but then once the drums come in, it's like just overwhelms it. But
yeah, you can't hear anything.
But anyway, so just like, yeah, with getting more comfortable with like my own studio gear, I've like started like buying microphones and stuff, which is something I haven't done in like 10 years. So it's been kind of fun.
Nice.
And then just like recording so many demos and like redoing songs and redoing all this other stuff. And it's been kind of fun. It's just fun to, you know, and I've also been trying to do like covers of songs in a certain style or rehash them a certain way or stick to a certain constraints. And it's just been really fun. It's just been really scratching that creative itch and nice. Getting me to practice. And it was kind of nice. It made me feel really good because I sent Taylor some demos and he goes, dude, you're like really good at guitar now.
Yeah, I noticed like that you got better.
So. Yeah, well, I play every day, so
yeah,
mostly. No, that's not true. I mean, I definitely try to play every day, but
I mean,
it's funny because I don't think I necessarily practice, you know, but yeah. Every once in a while I get the bug where I'm like, I got to try these techniques that I'm still bad at and I still never get good at them. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, man.
But
no, it's cool. I'm glad you're doing that. It's fun. It's bringing me back for sure.
Yeah.
So a couple other things I wanted to mention. Like I said, I'm sort of back on this like web dev kick. I went back to Free Code Camp and I have some goals around that. Part of the reason is because they have all these challenges basically, and they're split up into sections. Like one of them was learning React, and it was, I think it's like 47 challenges. And I like 3 or 4 months ago had been going through them and I stopped at 45 out of 47. And I went back to it and I didn't remember anything. So I like restarted that section. But also like I got a little bit burned out on some of the podcasts I was listening to. Like, I didn't feel like I was getting a lot of content. It was more just like good time type stuff, which is fun, but sometimes I just want some knowledge drops, you know? So I started listening to the Free Code Camp podcast again. And one of them was with the founder of 100 Days of Code. And it was like super inspiring. And I just kind of felt like I needed to step up my game and start like actually working towards something again, because I've kind of been in flux for a while. So I decided as of December 1st, I'm going to do 100 days of code. Basically, it's you just commit to doing an hour of code a day. And like I code at work all the time, but I'm not counting that. I'm going to specifically focus on JavaScript stuff because I really enjoy front-end development. and I could see myself wanting to focus more on that for a career. And I've also like been working through Free Code Camp for years, and it'd be nice to like go through and finish it. So far that's been going pretty well. I think I've pretty much done an hour of code every day. There was one component of it that I'm not really following, which is you're supposed to be tweeting every day about what you've done that day. Which, I mean, I get the idea behind it. It's like
Well, you
commitment
can't count the day if you
and
haven't tweeted, so honestly, you should just start over. I'm just kidding.
I like the idea of like getting back to that and sort of like entering the community, but right now it's like I am focused on JavaScript stuff. I'm focused on like React and whatever, but like for the game jam, like it's going to be Phaser. So I don't know. I think I feel good about just keeping that to myself. But the other thing that he stressed was like it's not just 100 days of code. Like you could really do 100 days of anything. And I have been also pretty bad about working out lately. Like we have basically a gym at our house. Like our garage is not a garage, it's a gym. It has a treadmill and some weights and stuff in there. So I decided I'm going to do 100 days of code and 100 days of fitness. And I kind of looped in guitar in there too, 100 days of guitar. So it's basically hour of code, 30 minutes of fitness, and 15 minutes of guitar. And I've been able to keep up with that pretty well. And I'm already like seeing some changes. Like I've gotten a lot better at guitar just over the last 10 days or whatever. I've been running a lot and feeling better when running, and also like just chugging through code, which is fun. So I'm pretty stoked about that. If anyone's interested, I don't think you have to officially do anything, but it's nice to just be more goal oriented. And I feel like we've talked a lot about that on the podcast, but I feel like if I don't have some goal in mind, like I don't really know where I'm going. Like I just sort of
I
flounder
think
and
that's
then end up
everybody, you
stopping,
know.
you know? Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly.
the point. Like the, you know, it's nice to obviously the journey is like what's important, not just the goal, obviously, but the goal is the landmark of which you like get your bearings, right? Like, you know, if you're just like, you know, I always imagine like being at sea and you're like, okay, well, you could just go along and go with the current and let the wind blow you where you will, but you know, if you stop every now and then and get your bearings and you say, okay, we're gonna head west. Well, it's pretty easy to do. You just follow where the sun sets every day, you know, and you got something of which to sort of line your life up with and figure out where you're going. Not even just your life, but line up your, you know, some of your choices and things like that. So, it's all
So
for
that's.
people let themselves get overwhelmed all the time with being trying to be goal oriented and all that, but it's like goals aren't supposed to be like life altering things, you know. It's like,
Well, you want it to be feasible. And I feel like, that's fairly minimal amount of time for, well, and the overall duration of 100 days, like, it seems like a lot, but it's actually not a lot, So, and once you get through that 100 days, like you've really established some habits, which I'm really interested in doing, especially with working out. Like, I'm not good about, like, I'll go for a run, like, here and there, but, like, I'm not good about doing it consistently, and that's, like, what I need. So,
It's been kind of nice. My buddy owns a gym and like a martial arts gym, and I've been like going and lifting weights with him and stuff, and kind of nice like working out with somebody who is like it's like their job is fitness.
So he's
Because
like giving
like
you tips and stuff.
not only that, but he's like well like at this point he's like well aware of like what I'm capable of, and he's like super capable of like pushing me to overcome like my own like mental barriers.
Nice.
I don't know. So it's like he knows proper technique, proper form. He knows how far is too far, you know. So it's like kind of it's just been a fun exercise. And he's a friend of mine that I, you know, I don't get to see that often unless I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with him. He's in my Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Which
Well,
makes me
and
sad
he's.
because what?
Oh, I was going to say, and he's your accountability buddy now.
Yeah, my accountability
What were you going to say, though?
I was gonna say the D&D podcast makes me kind of sad because I have retired my longest run D&D character now.
Oh, really?
I played him for 2 years straight. We've got like, I don't know. Let me think. I don't know. Several hundred hours of content with this character, and he's retired now. So
Durock.
Durock, yeah, he's the
poor
one.
Guy.
Yeah.
He had a good run.
Yeah, he did. he lived a peaceful rest of his life. So
that's good.
So we're moving on to the next campaign, the next season.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Are you actively doing more podcasts right now, or?
We start next Sunday for the next season. So I've got my new character all drafted up, and we're gonna rock and roll with it.
Cool, man. I like that idea of doing seasons. That's not something we've ever really. I don't know. Maybe we've talked about it, but
yeah, we have. Well, you know, our seasons with. I mean, that because that show, it's like we don't record weekly, but we release weekly. It's like we record, you know, maybe monthly, sometimes
less.
Do
like a lot of, or like big sessions, right?
Yeah, we do big sessions and then we just cut them up and put them out. And the seasons, what they are, they're story arcs. It's not based on anything in real life. It's based on story arcs.
Gotcha.
And we have...
I mean, that makes sense for that kind of a podcast, I feel like.
Yeah. And we had 250-episode story arcs.
Gotcha. Dang.
So, yeah.
You guys have a lot of episodes then, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had, like, probably, like, 25 episodes for my season that I ran up. Then we had 50 for the second, 50 for the third, and that's not counting, like, all of our... Patreon episodes that we do one Patreon episode every week that's about 10 to 20 minutes long as well. And we do like mid-season, like we do alternate story arcs in the middle of our seasons, so like there's probably like 20 episodes of like a completely different story arc spread out in there somewhere. So yeah, we've got a lot.
Nice, man. Remind people what the name of it is.
Chaotic Amateurs.
Yeah.
ChaoticAmateurs.com. yeah, a lot of our web traffic is from confused porn surfers.
wow.
But actually what's been fun is we've been getting just like review bombed and stuff lately. And
that's cool.
It's almost exclusively because we have billboards. And
what does that mean? Like
a billboard.
Physical ones?
Yeah, a physical billboard. We're like on the freeway. We have a billboard.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean it's a digital billboard, but we're on it.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Oh, a digital physical.
A physical billboard on the freeway
that is digital.
Digital.
I was like, okay, so you mean an ad? You have ads, but
no,
but
a
I'm
real
thinking like
freaking 50-foot tall billboard.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah,
that's
we're actually
really cool.
On three billboards.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and are you a lot of your listens from...
Like lately, we've been getting review bombed by people who've been like, I decided to check you out because I've never seen a podcast with a billboard.
Yeah, seriously.
And they're like, and I found like you guys are awesome. So it's like, okay,
that's
sweet.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, dude.
So...
Are those only in Salem or...
Yeah, all three are in Salem. Yeah.
Dude, it'd be really funny if you just like put them all around the country.
I thought about trying to like raise money to do that, but I don't know how much it costs because only like one of our guys paid for it.
Yeah.
And just because he wanted to like do something nice for us and he was like, here you go. And he just like bought billboard space and set it up and he like made the art and everything. And I thought it'd be like really fun if I could like raise the money to like put us on a billboard like somewhere just crazy, you know?
Yeah. That would be really funny. Try and figure out what city has like the biggest D&D following and then putting it there.
Oh, yeah, dude. Do some market research. I didn't even think about that. I was just like,
do
where would be
big
a funny
data
place
analysis?
To have a D&D? Yeah. I'll just pick up the phone, start doing some polling. Be like, do you play D&D in your household? Okay, next.
That's funny, dude. Nice.
But so that's been fun. But moving on with our next season and... so anyway
the only other thing I want to mention is I've been playing a crazy amount of Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because like I don't go on Steam that much anymore because like I've been playing games on like good old games and stuff, and I haven't been launching Steam. And the times I have gotten on, you're always on AOE.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to scale back a little bit, but the first like week that it had been out, like from Thursday to Thursday, I had put in like 25 or 30 hours into it, which I haven't done anything like that with a game for so long. But me and my buddy Danny from college, like we played Divinity together, and we had beaten Divinity 2 like the week before Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition had come out. So it was like perfect timing. And we had played like these RTS games in college and stuff. And so it was like, dude, remember Age of Empires 2? Like, let's get it and let's play. And so me and Danny kind of got like really into it. And we were like, you know, now they have like YouTube videos of strategies and all this kind of stuff. And so it's like much different than it was when I first started playing. And so we were like watching about like the new civilizations, like all these strategies. And then this guy that I work with, he has a bunch of friends that all got the Xbox Game Pass, which the first like 3 months, it's like $1 a month. And it has like 150 games. And one of them is Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition. And he knew that I liked it. So he was like, dude, you should play with us. And so I've been playing with his friends as well, too. So
I should hop on because I have Xbox Games Pass.
Oh, dude, yeah, you should. Hmm. It's so fun. I mean, it's like it's exactly the same game, but there's just like more civs and.
What's crazy is I was thinking about buying it on Steam, and yet I could just have access to it.
I mean, yeah, I would say buy it anyways, just because I don't know if you really want to do the whole subscription thing. But
I mean, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, are you gonna keep doing it?
I don't know, man. It might be worth $5 a month.
Like, okay. You know, I don't play enough like, games to make it worth it, but
I got it just to play Outer Worlds.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like, okay, the first few months are $1 and I can play this AAA title that's $60 otherwise.
Right.
And and it saved me from buying it on Epic, which is kind of helpful, but yeah, it's like the more I look at it, there are a lot of games on Xbox Games Pass. And it's like, maybe I should just keep it around. It's like $5 a month. Like,
yeah,
that's worth it to not have to like, I mean, I hate buying games. I hate it.
I do too. I've stopped like, I don't know.
And so for the cost of one new game a year, I can have access to 150 titles.
Hey, that's a good point. Is it going to be $5 a month? Like from...
That's I'm pretty sure it's $5 a month for regular. I could be wrong, but I remember like reading it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought
about
someone
that,
said 15, and I was like,
that's a little much. I'd even consider $10 a month.
Yeah,
15's out of my price range, but, but for $5 a month,
right?
Like maybe I should just Google it real quick. I mean, I have my Xbox thing open right now, but
yeah, I will say. Age of Empires 2 is really, really fun. They did a really good job on the new version. There's a couple little issues with like pathfinding, but otherwise, it's $10 a month. Gotcha.
All right. So it's the cost of two new games a year.
Yeah. Kinda sucks. I don't know.
It's not as good. Although,
Yeah, I just don't think that I can get into a subscription service. I only have like
Netflix,
a couple.
Bitch.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I use Netflix like daily.
Yeah.
Whereas
if you don't play games, then you know,
I don't play games
do?
Daily.
Except you are and, right now.
I am right now, but it's just for one game. After that, I probably won't play a game. You know.
Oh
daily
no,
for...
dude, no! It is $5 a month. Oh, I guess it says introductory price.
Yeah.
But it is $5 a month
hooked,
right
bro.
Now.
It's going to be a Comcast thing. It's like, oh, it's only $1, except now it's 5, and now it's 10, and now it's 15, and now it's 30.
Yeah, that's everything, though, dude.
I know.
What are you going to do?
Life
cost
sucks.
Of stuff goes up.
Yeah.
The only way through this is just go blow up the government.
Oh, God.
I know, dude. Now there's people like, rushing us. Don't do that, guys.
Yeah. Nope. Unless you're playing Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, then you can blow up plenty of governments.
Well, that's exactly
all
what I
in
was
the
talking
feudal
about.
Age. Okay, yeah, that's
I was
what I thought
talking
you were
about video
talking about.
games. Thank you.
You're like, yeah. You're
what,
like,
are you
man,
concerned that the FBI is listening to us right now? Why are you getting so
no.
crazy right this?
I just want to talk more about Age of Empires 2. dude, it was like I was literally having dreams about it for that week. It was like, oh my god.
And that was me and Dota for a long time.
Yeah. I was happy though because like they revamped the AI and now they added an extra difficulty. So now there's not just hardest, there's extreme. And like one of my childhood goals was like to beat it on the hardest difficulty, and I can never even beat it on hard, really. I could beat moderate but not hard. And I don't know, I played so much, I like figured out like build orders and all this stuff, and now I've got to the point where if I rush an extreme AI, I can beat them, which is really satisfying. But human players are too good though. Like it's crazy. Like some of these YouTube videos of people that are like really good at the game. One of the guys, his name is The Viper, and he has beaten 1v3 on extreme difficulty. He might have even done 1v4. So like people are insane. It's like every game, I guess, where people are just like freaks about it. So anyways, you should pick up Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition. We'll play it.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Sweet.
Well, why don't we wrap this up? If you guys, I don't know when we're going to get this episode out because we have another one banked. But
yeah, maybe this week. Maybe I'll just double launch them.
Okay, that'd be cool. There's plenty of time for OMG Jam 6. It's a week long this time. So even if you get this and it's on like Thursday or Friday of the week, you still have, you know, more than just the regular 2 days that we normally do. So
yeah.
Sign up. It'd be really sick if we hit 200 people joining.
Super sick, dog.
So, do it.
Cool. Yeah, guys. So, sign up for the Game Jam over on itch.io if you haven't done that yet. OMG Jam 6. And for anything else you guys want to hit us up or check us out or whatever it might be, you can head on over to gamedevsquest.com. And that's got convenient links for your pleasure and ours. And you can take you to our Twitter, take you to our Discord, take you to... the home seats of our podcast audio, if you'd like, if getting it on your favorite podcasting platform isn't enough. So
yep.
gamedevsquest.com, go do it. And until next time, boys
yeah.
and girls,
thanks, y'all.
We'll be dissecting OMG Jam 6, hopefully by then. So come back and see how it went if you didn't participate or if you did, and we'll catch up with y'all then.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us, y'all. Have a good jam.
Cue that music.
Uh-huh.